all the ponies are ours, I believe. That's the indication from the series.
No, they're mine.
They're all individual. These are individual. These are not collective ponies. Everyone has them individually.
Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. Today, we're going to have the last three NDK 2013 audio interviews. So, that'll be great. And then we'll be moving on to other stuff. So, look forward to it. And that's all I'm going to go ahead and say right now. Let's go ahead and cue the music. Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here at Non-Descon 2013 with...
Raj Ramayev.
Ah, now, Raj, just in case people are not familiar with who you are and what you do, who are you and what do you do?
Good question. I write music for animation and games, as well as film and television, and I'm best known for my works like Cowboy Bebop, Wolf's in the Rain, Wolf's Rain, Ghost in the Shell, and my work with Yoko Kanno, but I've lived half my life in Tokyo, Japan, and recently moved to California. So I still do a lot of work for many Japanese companies, everything from Japanese labels, publishers, animation, games, film, and television, everything. Mm. So, a composer, and I'm also a singer.
Mm. So when did you get into music? Was it something that just came naturally, or did you? When did you realize you wanted to become a musician and work in music?
I started getting serious about music about 14 years ago, and that was about the time Cowboy Bebop came out, and I was working, signed to Yoko Kanno's label, and I decided at that point that it was the right thing for me to be doing. I felt very comfortable, and from there I had several hits that I wrote for different Japanese artists, as well as the work with Yoko Kanno, which became very successful, as well as doing a lot of TV commercials, and it blossomed into a nice career. And I realized that this is where I wanted to be. So I stayed with it, and it's been fantastic since then.
What were you doing before that?
Before that, I was a student, and trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life, a college student. And as soon as I finished school, I was very fortunate to get involved in the music industry, and get involved in a very serious way. It came very fast. Everything came together extremely fast for me. So I'm very grateful for that. And since then, it hasn't really slowed down. Mm. It's been better and better every year. So,
having just recently moved to California after being in Tokyo so long, is there a bit of a culture shock between the two?
Yeah, there's been a huge culture shock, actually. Getting used to living back in North America again. I'm from Canada originally. But after half my life in Japan, I became very used to the way things are done in Japan, the work ethic, and also the sort of day-to-day living lifestyle in Japan. I'm really loving living in California, love being in the U.S., basically. Lifestyle is incredible, a lot of space and freedom. I do miss the culture in Japan, and of course, the music, people that I deal with every day in Japan, because I don't see them very often anymore, but... I'm loving being here, and I'm becoming part of the anime convention circuit, which is great. So I'm making a new family of good friends, and loving it, loving all my experiences here with the cons. So it's been great.
So what was it like growing up in Canada? From Canada to Japan, that's kind of a big leap.
It was a dramatic leap, because I was raised in Saskatchewan, which is a very small town and very rural. I felt that I was a little bit not in the correct place for me, and being in Tokyo was the right place for me. I felt at very at home in Tokyo for many years, and it was easy to adjust to Tokyo in a way, simply because I think a lot of doors opened up for me quickly, and it's been another easy adjustment coming back. Well, not super easy, but a fairly easy adjustment coming back to North America again. So I feel like I left the small, quiet town kind of vibe, went to the big city, and now I've kind of come back to a big town, San Francisco. But I live in the countryside just outside San Francisco, so I feel like I've found the balance of both worlds. I still go back to Asia on a regular basis. I live in San Francisco, which is very Asian. Mm. I'm still in the music business, and I go back and forth from California to Japan on a regular basis. So it's all worked out perfectly, actually.
What was the catalyst for moving back to the States?
I actually got married to an American.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens. And my wife's from the San Francisco Bay Area, so I've set up shop there. And I have a really nice studio up on Mount Tamalpais. It's just outside San Francisco, close to the Golden Gate Bridge. So that and some kids, and very happy to be back, actually. Mm.
How many instruments do you play?
I play guitar and sing. But I also play bass, drums, and I also do a lot of programming on the computer. And I teach music production, sound design at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. Mm. So I play several instruments, and I work with lots of different talented musicians. And it's been very nice. I'm learning from them about new instruments, and I'm always eager to learn and play something new. Mm.
So how do you balance your home life with your professional life now that you have a family and the responsibilities that go with that?
It's not easy. I do a lot of traveling. I'm on the road a lot, but I tend to fly out and play a few days somewhere. Here in Denver, of course, this weekend, and then I'm in New York at the end of the month, so I'm taking next week off. And then I'm in Mexico, and then I'm in Ireland, so I'm around a lot. And then back to Japan. So I travel often, but I try to make my trips short, and I try to bring my family if I can with me. And I keep in close touch with everybody. I mean, it's wonderful now with Skype and FaceTime, we keep in touch. Yeah. But I try to make my appearances and my shows basically a weekend affair if I can. Yeah. And then fly out Friday, come back Sunday kind of deal. So.
That's the way to do it. That way you can definitely... I mean, thanks to technology, we're much more connected than we used to be.
Absolutely.
Which, that connection is pretty good because it allows you to do a lot of promotion on your own and such. Do you use social media to promote yourself fairly well? Or how would you say your promotion through that has been?
I do use social media. I am not the best person at marketing myself. I think... It's a lot of it's been word of mouth, and I find word of mouth to be the best promotion for anything that I do. I use social media. I do use Twitter and Facebook, of course, like most people. I haven't used them probably to the extent that I should have, but what I'm finding is more or less people are finding out about me through the word of mouth, and that's very powerful. And having other people promote you is more powerful than promoting yourself. And here's a good example. On your show. Mm-hmm. It's a great promotion.
Oh, yes. And yeah. We also tape some stuff that we might be able to use for YouTube, too.
Nice.
Like the odd little puppy cat thing. Oh, yeah.
The puppy cat twerk in tofu, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that. I don't know. We just got it and did it spontaneously on stage, so Lotus Juice and I are just dying to hear a copy of it. See.
Oh, yeah, we got a copy.
Did you tape it? Oh,
yeah, we taped it.
Awesome, awesome.
Excellent, excellent.
Could turn out to be our next hit. You never know.
Never know. It's an odd little YouTube show too, which it's referencing.
Is it?
It's a Bee and Puppy Cat is the name of the little animation for it.
Bee and Puppy Cat. Okay.
Yeah, and the puppy cat is just like, it's this thing from there.
Yeah.
It's weird. Independent animation. That's pretty good.
Oh, I love it. I mean, the whole thing about puppy cat sounds kind of interesting, actually, when you think about it. Is it pretty popular?
I don't think it's popular enough, but it's gotten a couple million views and stuff. It's one of those things where it blew up on YouTube because it's one of the people behind one of the artists from Adventure Time, another popular show, worked on that.
A couple million hits is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very good actually. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'd love to meet the artist behind Puppy Cats. See if he needs a theme song for it.
She.
Yeah. Oh. Well, tell her to get in touch with me. She can use our puppy cat twerk and tofu theme song.
I hope that I hope there's some DeviantArt for that. Of course, we'll be posting stuff like this up on Reddit and all that, too.
Okay, cool.
To mention it, yeah.
Nice.
Back to the convention. What do you think of Colorado and Nondescon so far?
It's been fabulous. The staff at Nondescon have been great, actually great. We've had a great time. Lotus just now feel very comfortable, and it's been very smooth. The fans have been great, too. We had a great show on Friday night, and then even though it was rained out in so many places, people still showed up. We're very happy to see them, and we had a great fan turnout at the panels that we did today. So, yeah, all in all, fantastic so far.
Including, even with the emergencies and stuff that happened, fire alarms.
Yeah, it's been interesting, actually.
Quite.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised with that, actually.
Yeah, it's been a weird day, actually. The fire alarms going off, and then the Denver fire...
We're confiscating your cars.
Yeah.
They're ours now.
Yeah. Tow away the cars. Mind you, I was in the jacuzzi, and I didn't budge.
You're like, I'm in water, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
There's a fire, I'm in water. Good.
The jacuzzi water will put that fire out, probably.
Yep. So, let's go into a little bit of the creative process. What would you describe the, your creative inspiration for your songs? Like, how much of the external do you internalize for use in your songs?
Quite a bit, actually. I use a lot of the experiences I have in everyday life for material for songs. Mm-hmm. And I just started working with Lotus Juice from Persona on a track with one of the guys that works with me named Sebastian 3000, a DJ. So we've been working on a track, a collaborative track with Lotus Juice. And it's all about stuff that we the experiences from, you know, the people we meet and the things we do, and who knows, there could be a puppy cat theme in the next track with Lotus Juice. You never know. We're talking about it. So yeah, we bring a lot of what we feel and get from people into our songs for sure.
You sound very, very busy. Out of all the things that you're doing, have you done anything with any charity?
I used to be one of the sponsor or bands that played for Amnesty International in Japan. So I used to do the Amnesty International shows, and we did several shows for them, and we released a Christmas album and gave part of the proceeds to Amnesty International. So I'm always very interested in working with charities, and if there's any charities that'd be interested in working with me, I think the best thing is just to go ahead and contact me through Facebook, friend me on Facebook, and get in touch, and if there's something I can do for you, I'd be more than happy to help out.
And speaking of charities, here at Nondescon, one of the big charities they have this year that they're doing part of the auction for and some of the proceeds will go to is Stomp Out Bullying. As a teacher, you deal with students on a daily basis and such. Is there any type of advice you could give to those students or even to your children on how to deal with bullying, or if that issue ever comes up?
Well, you know, fortunately, that issue hasn't come up yet with anything that I've had to deal with, and I'm very fortunate that hasn't come up in any way. But I think good education, is the key to overcoming things like bullying. I mean, it obviously comes from people being ignorant of what they're doing and how it's affecting other people around them. So, if there's anything I can do to support this, I'd be happy to. But yeah, I guess the key to all that is educating people.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. One thing about these conventions, and as you've gone to a lot of conventions so far this year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've been at 12 conventions this year. Yeah.
Now, one thing I've noticed at a lot of conventions is when you're at the convention, there's a lot of energy. People are very active, very outgoing, very outspoken, very loud.
Yeah.
And then when they get out of the convention, a lot of them tend to clam up a little bit, go into a bit of a shell. Yeah. What advice could you give people to take that con energy, that con joy, and take it to their everyday life?
It's really interesting you say that, because I notice the same thing. At the cons, people feel free, they let go of themselves, and then they go back to, quote-unquote, their usual life, and they go back to maybe being a little bit internalized or shy. And I think the important thing is to take what you've learned at the cons and take some of that love and spread it out into your everyday life to everybody that you meet. And I have a lot of friends who go to Burning Man, they say the same thing. After 7 days at Burning Man or 2 days at a con, I go home and feel depressed. But I think if you really think about it, you shouldn't go home and feel depressed. You should go home and feel happy and try to make every day a day at a con or every day a day at Burning Man, and pass it on and pay it forward and take that love that you find and that camaraderie and make it part of your daily life, so you're always happy and you're always looking forward, because there's always a con again, right? Next year it comes back again.
Yes.
So for the other 362 days of the year, I think we have to focus on making those wonderful experiences as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, before we go, because it's final question time, anything you'd like to pimp or promote or tell us about?
Well, I'm working on several projects. I can't really talk about some of them right now just yet. I am, if any fans of the History Channel, that stuff I can talk about. I'm doing a couple of soundtracks for the History Channel right now, and working on some game and some anime projects as well, which I will talk about later on once they're all finalized. And I'm going to be releasing my own album probably sometime in late fall, early winter, and I will be heading back to Japan again to work on several new projects in October. So I think that's it for now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for the interview. This is Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, over here at Non-Descon 2013 with
Raj Ramayev.
And thank you very much, and good night. Welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here at Non-Descon doing a joint interview with
Assimilator from the Game Slave
and Care Bear from the Game Slave.
And we're both interviewing
Tia Ballard.
So, would you like to start out?
Sure. For people who aren't uninitiated, Tia, how long have you been a voice actor?
I've been a voice actor 4 years. I think this year. I started Valentine's Day 2009. Animation Entertainment. It's a Valentine's gift.
Hey, Valentine's Day, that starts your career. That's not too bad.
I know. They owe me flowers every year, I think.
It's a fair trade.
So, how did you get into voice? What did you do before voice acting?
Well, okay, so I started out as an art major because I wanted to do creative things, but I was too shy to talk to anybody. So, I became an art major. And I always had a love for Disney, so that brought me to the Walt Disney Company, Walt Disney World in Florida, where I worked for a time. But there I saw people doing exactly what they wanted to do with their lives, not caring what anybody thought. I was from a very small town. Everyone was a farmer. I graduated high school with 20 people. It was very, very small. So getting into cartooning and gaming and things like that, that's just unheard of. You don't do it. So it was at Disney World where I got to see like 6 foot tall men carrying around Goofy backpacks, and they didn't care because they liked Goofy, and it was amazing. It was an eye opener. So that's where I thought, I'm gonna get in cartoons. Yep. So I looked up cartoon places, and I saw Funimation Entertainment was 2 hours from where I lived back in Texas. So I was like, that's where I'm gonna work. So when I got back, I jumped into theater because I knew I had to. I had to get myself out there and hone those skills. And so it was my love of cartoons that brought me the theater and gave me this love of acting. And then from networking and talking to the right people and never letting go of that desire, I landed an audition and with Monica Rial, and it's been happiness ever since.
Since you said that you were influenced by Disney, were there any particular voice actors that you were influenced by?
Oh, absolutely. Tara Strong, obviously, she's brilliant. Jess Harnell is my favorite. If you don't know him, he plays Wacko in Animaniacs, or closer to my heart, Br'er Rabbit.
Wacko's one of my favorites.
Oh, there you go. See, oh, I adore him so much. So those are definitely two of my favorites, but I mean, anyone who's paved the way for what I do, it's such a blessing to have so many people to look up to. Very, very talented individuals.
So, when you were working with Disney, were you a cast member?
I was a cast member.
Were you a face cast member?
Well, I am. Well, everybody who works for Disney is called cast members, even if you don't work in entertainment. I worked very, very closely with Br'er Rabbit on Splash Mountain. I also did some character work. I was very good friends with a few others, but yeah, I was kind of all over the park. I did a lot of fun stuff with parades and hanging out with guests, and yeah, Disney's my home for sure. Always my home.
What's been your fondest time or best experience while you've been in the booth recording?
Oh, in the booth. Gosh, that's a good question. Any of my experiences, really. My favorite thing happens, though, when I go in and everyone's already in, so I'm recording after everyone else, and the show is funny, and I get to hear all the jokes. That's my favorite. And a lot of directors actually test jokes on me. So they'll play the show, and if I laugh, they'll know it's actually funny. And if I don't laugh, they'll know it's not that funny, just because I'm one of those people that I laugh at everything that's funny, you know? So hearing what my fellow cast members get to do, that's amazing to me. I love that.
So, what do you think of NondesCon 2013 so far?
I think it's awesome. I'm having a really great time. The staff is really taking care of me. Colorado is beautiful. I've never been here before. I'm getting to see rain. That's glorious.
Yeah, we're not normally this soggy.
I love it, though. It's amazing. Coming from Texas, this is amazing. And everyone's so kind and so loving. I've been surrounded by nothing but positive, you know, with nothing but positive people and positive energy. So it's amazing. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever wish that you could actually be working with the other actors in the booth instead of doing the recordings separate of them?
Sometimes it gets kind of lonely in there talking to yourself. You start to think you're crazy. If you stay in there long enough, you'll go booth crazy and start picking off the egg crate from the walls. I've done it, actually. You open the door and you hand, you know, a piece of the egg crate to the director. You're like, here's your booth. Sorry. So, yeah, having coworkers in there with me would always be fun, I think.
Because that brings kind of like, I guess, an energy to it.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Absolutely. You bounce off of each other.
So, aside from your work with Funimation and what you've done before, and also in any other types of jobs that you do. Do you do anything for charity?
I do. Oh my gosh. I love anything that has to do with animals and children.
Are you kidding?
Oh, perfect.
Woo! I'm not sure.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
Attention!
You are already dead.
Yeah?
Aliens have landed.
Attention all occupants. Attention all occupants. This is the Denver Fire Department. Anyone that is parked across the street at 4700 South Syracuse has approximately 15 minutes to move their vehicle, or you will be towed. Attention, any
kidding. We're not parked illegally. We are in a parking spot.
For any K attendees that...
Okay.
This has never happened before.
Yeah. We've never had the alarm go off this well ever.
Nope. Reminds me of 1 year. 1 year at ACON.
Have our permission.
Wait, what am I
supposed to say? Take back your city, Gotham. Take back your city.
Is this part really necessary?
Yeah. It's not too bad if you put a backbeat to it.
Resume our regularly scheduled program.
So, charity work.
Hang on. Oh my goodness. Okay. I can do this. Oh my gosh. I know, right? I'm very involved with anything that has to do with the elderly and animals. I'm not affiliated with any particular charity right now. I do a lot of work with the shelters back home in my hometown of Paris, Texas, and different things around Dallas. I also volunteer at what do you call it? See, now I'm all thrown off. No. Oh gosh, I've ruined the
question. It's like something
already.
Old dog, something, something. No,
no,
like,
no, no.
Is it with dogs or
at nursing homes?
Oh, nursing homes. Oh, nursing homes. Those are a thing.
They're like the dogs. Oh, the elderly. Right,
yeah,
right.
Elderly. Elderly dogs.
We should move on from this question.
Okay. Okay. Since we're already kind of off subject, I'm going to go off subject for a bit. Reading your bio in the EDK page made me think of this question. So the cannibal said that you taste good. What did he actually say you taste like?
My. Good joke.
Oh, no.
Tea flavored anything would taste good, I think.
Okay. I just found that entertaining on your bio.
Oh, well, thanks.
Oh, yeah. So, back, I guess, to charities. There's a charity that they have here at Non-Descon that we're supporting called Stomp Out Bullying.
Oh, yes.
Is there any type of advice you could give to anyone who has been a victim of bullying or how to handle it?
Oh my goodness, this thing got serious all of a sudden. I love it.
The alarms are going to go off in a moment.
I know, right? In the middle of any serious answer. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Well, my advice, I don't know if it's really advice, but I think it's very important to realize that it's all an illusion. You're not uncool. You're not insignificant, and once you reach a certain age, you control who you're around, and you control how they affect you, and how you let their words affect you. Just remember that you can always get away from those people, and I think it's very important as well when you have children to teach them not to bully. A lot of people are stuck on the whole, don't let yourself be bullied, and I agree with that. But I also think it's very important to spread the knowledge of, to our own children or to the young ones in our life that it's not okay to bully other people. Never okay. And I think both of those messages are very, very important.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So
now to a less serious question. Yes, seriously. Yes, we're like, okay, do you play with ice cream? No.
Is there any job that you wish you could have been given had you had the opportunity to do it?
Yeah, there are a lot of things I'm interested in, but I'm a firm believer of anything I want to do, I can do it. I just have to set my heart in that direction, make a plan, and accomplish it. There are a lot of big dreams that I have for my future and things like that, and I definitely think of them within eyesight. Oh, you want to know specific? I was like, yes. A part of me always wants to go back to Disney. That company is very, very important to me. Always has been, always will be. I'm getting into writing my own animations right now and developing those, and anything to do with animation is very dear to my heart. Yeah, just a lot of fun stuff. I have a very fun life and very fun interests. though being Princess of the Mushroom Kingdom would be nice. I don't know if I can get that one, though.
Just needed to relaunch the Super Mario Super Show for you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Here, we can do that.
The only thing about that one is sometimes I've heard that the vacation times are only when you get kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, going back to that animation. you're writing animation and stuff. Do you do any animation yourself?
No, I do not animate. Okay. I've learned that I can't do that very well.
Well,
I don't have the patience to sit there and frame after frame after frame. And there was a lot of people that could do it way better than I ever could. But I'm studying writing animation right now, also storyboarding and character design. So I'm working on 2 shorts right now. And I'm pretty excited about them. Can't really talk about them because I don't want to jinx it. But I'm definitely playing with some very fun people. So, yay!
Are there any games or anime that you're playing / watching right now?
I'm actually... Okay, this sounds dorky. But I'm playing Sonic CD for the first time ever. I've never played Sonic games before. Yeah, in 2013, I've never really played Sonic games. I'm a Mario girl. So I got into Sonic, and it turns out it's really awesome. So I downloaded it. I downloaded Sonic CD on my phone, so I'm in the middle of that right now and really, really loving it. The game's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the conventions. Okay, yes. Actually, one thing I've noticed at these conventions is that there's a lot of energy and everyone's very out and about when we're not being forced out the building for fire alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's like, people tend to be out of their shell, really vibrant and lively and such during the convention, but when they go back to school or work or whatnot, they tend to go into a little bit of a shell. Do you have any advice for how people can take that wonderful positive energy from the convention and apply it to the everyday doldrums of modern life?
Well, I think that the important thing to realize is why we're all here, and it's my belief that everyone's here to love, and everyone's here to be loved and learn how to love others. So many people are afraid that they're wrong for liking certain things or being into certain things, or someone's told them that they're wrong. And like I said earlier, all of that is an illusion. What's important to you is what's important to you, and you should hold that dear to yourself. And no matter what, just keep loving. Don't just love the people who love you. Love the people who challenge you and challenge them to go a step farther. Challenge them to love you by loving them. So, that's my advice. I mean, I could sit here and give you a whole big long message about believing in yourself and all that, and it's so important to do those things, but just remember that if someone's angry at you, they're not angry at you. Or if someone's bullying you, they're not bullying you. They're hurting, and that's the only way they have to express it. And I think the best way to fight any sort of negativity is with just love, endless love. So, that's what I have.
Mm-hmm. So, I know from previous Q&A panels you've done, you and the other voice actors say you're happy when you get any part.
Yes.
You get things like long-term stuff or leads, like you got the Happy the Cat role. Did you have to do a double take when you got that proposal to take on that role?
Happy the Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so happy when I got Happy. I was going through the audition sides, and I saw Urza. No, that's not mine. Lucy, maybe. And then I turned the page and there was this little blue cat and I was like, oh, that's him. I want him. He's mine. I have to have him. So, I went in there, did the lines. The director, Tyler, told me to bring it a little bit more high pitch, so I got to do eyes, you know, eye, and all different kinds of, like, happy, sad, mad, whatever. That was one of the challenges of the audition, was saying eye in a lot of different emotions. And then I think it was like around Christmas of that year. I don't know why Funimation gives me cool things on holidays, but it was like Christmas that the director Tyler wrote me on Facebook and said, "How do you feel about playing Little Blue Cat?" And it was like, ah! So I was immediately so excited. I didn't have any idea how many episodes there were. Usually with anime, it's like 25 episodes, 13 episodes. So when I found out it was like this huge part, I was really excited. But just knowing that I got the role I wanted, I got this adorable little blue cat who's like the optimistic comic relief, which is me in my day-to-day life, I think, was just thrilling. I love it. But yeah, we're relieved to get any role.
So, anything you want to promote or promote?
Promote?
Yeah, anything you want about or anything.
Let me see. I've got a comic that is... I don't make money on. It's strictly for funsies. It's Super Mario based, called Coopasta. It has been on hiatus for the past year, but it's up and running in the next month, so I'm excited about that. Sanka Rea, where I play Rea, the zombie in love, is coming out in December. Guilty Crown is, I think it may be out or it's coming out soon. And then, as always, the fairy tale movie that's coming out in December. Something... I don't know if Sanka Rea is coming in December. I think Fairy Tale is, and then Sanka Rea is coming in fall. I'm not sure. Anyway, all those things I want to talk about. So, yes, those things.
Coopasta, is that Coopasta.com
you
for
got
our listeners?
It. Coopasta. It's based off of a dish in Paper Mario, which is my favorite Mario game. Yeah.
All right. I have to think of one because that was the next question I was going to ask.
Sorry.
It's all right. Let's see if I can think
of it. Well, I have a question. Okay. How different is it between male characters and female characters as far as your voice?
As far as my voice? Like when I do different, like Happy's a boy and so-and-so's a girl? I can't go as... When you play girl characters, you want to go all over the place and you're happy and... Boys don't do that. Boys think that's lame. So whenever when I play happy, I have to bring it down a little. And if I get too all over the place with my high-pitched voice, you know, the director's like, okay, bring it down. Remember, he's a guy. So it's more, even though he's high-pitched, it's more of an even tone. You know what I mean? It's more like that.
I'm trying to think. That's like, I'm surprised we didn't get the little time warning yet. I was like, oh. Right.
I know, we're making good time.
I did find one here then. If you had not gone into anime, into voice acting, what sort of jobs would you like to be having? Would you like to be doing?
I can't imagine my life without cartoons. That's what's been important to me for as long as I've been alive. On my Facebook, there's actually a video of me at 2 years old singing the Mickey Mouse theme song. That's just me. That's just, it's so weaved into who I am as a person that I can't imagine my life. I wouldn't be alive. If cartoons didn't exist, I would not have been born.
So one way or another, it was happening.
Yeah, it was happening. I'd be somewhere in the industry doing something.
Background pony number five.
I actually like your thesis, the psychology of character.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm a counselor in training, so it's like where my head is at. I'm like, I wonder what people think when they're, you know, going through these characters.
You learn a lot by looking at what types of characters people are into.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing. People relate to characters that go through what they go through. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I have a character on Rosario Plus Vampire. Her name is Mizute, and she's shy. She's very, very shy. And I found that most of the people who love that character are shy in their real lives. So they connect with her on a very deep level. I'm fascinated by that type of connection that people can make with animation. That's why I love animation so much. Very cool.
I think that's what I love about too.
Yeah, totally. And you can also judge a person by who they play on when you play Mario Party, who they pick.
Mm. Who do you pick?
Yes.
Princess Peach.
Of course. See?
Oh, looking forward to Super Mario 3D World?
Always.
The Wii U?
Anything Mario related.
Oh, that one you can actually play as like Princess Peach in, finally, in a normal game.
There's like, what is that game with Peach? It's like all about
Super
Peach.
Super Princess Peach. Yeah.
I've never played that.
What?
I know. When I wanted to get it, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, there's a Toys R Us over that way that's got for like 30
really?
Bucks. Yeah, in
I'm
Aurora.
I have to go make a stop then, because last time I looked, I could not find it anywhere.
On the way to the airport.
Yeah. Just swing by Toys R Us and be like, I've placed stuff in here.
Speaking of your thesis, what is your degree in it?
Oh my gosh, I have, let's see, let me try to remember. Bachelor's? Okay, wait. Got my associates. I've got a bachelor's in theater with emphasis on communication and speech. Boom.
Cool.
Yeah, I did a lot of work.
So, what would that? I missed the panel on the character design thing. What are some really quick five things that a good character design needs?
Oh my gosh, really?
Sorry.
You just come out of the blue with that question?
Yes. All
right, let me think. Man, I don't want some animation guy writing me and be like, hey, what's up with this? That's wrong.
A midi right now. All right, like,
okay. A good, let's see. Let's just think together on this. He or she, I think, needs a strong voice. They need a well-rounded personality. They need something that they're striving for, something that they believe in with all of their hearts. Doesn't matter what it is. Even Mickey Mouse has things that he believes in and things that are fundamentally weaved into who he is, the fabric of who he is. That was like three. What else you got? What do you think? What do you think? What makes a good character? Good relationships.
They always have to be relatable in some
ways.
Relatable on a personal level, yeah. Hmm. It's very interesting. As wacky as cartoons are, there's a structure to their lives, no matter how silly they are. So that's why cartoons are awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking something like, is there like a specific character design? Like, okay, these types of characters for this have to be this kind of shape, that type of thing. Like the science of it.
Oh,
the feng shui.
I'm sure that if you got all these cartoon characters together, you would start to see a pattern of character design and things like that. But I think that as soon as you start putting laws and rules on things, that's when the fun goes out of it. I think that no one expected, for instance, SpongeBob SquarePants to be such a mega hit that it was. But I'm sure that when they started making SpongeBob, they didn't expect it. It's like, wow. A sponge underwater, this is not going to be successful. And it blew up when it came out because it broke those rules. We never had a character like that before. So I think fooey on rules.
I am running out of questions.
I
ran out of questions years ago. I'm just kidding. So what's your favorite part of Denver so far?
The rain. No, I really love the mountains. I've never really seen mountains before, in my life.
Well, one cool thing about the mountains is we know where west is at all times.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It is so useful.
We drove, and then there was like this fence, and they were like, it keeps the rocks from falling on the cars. And I'm like, what? That's amazing. That's so cool. That fence is my favorite part.
It's like, it's the fence that keeps people alive.
Yes!
The animals away from cars.
Yeah.
There's actually one pass going between here and Glenwood Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They actually built it around like pre-existing fauna in order flora and fauna, in order so they didn't have to disturb trees and such when they're doing this path.
Wow.
But that is not nearly as fun as a road, and this is its legal name on the official map, and you can look it up. Oh my God, bro. And it is rightfully named.
It's like one of those white knuckle roads.
Oh,
that's funny.
You're like, where are the guardrails?
It's technically.
I'm going to die. That's amazing. I love it. That's cool.
So, yeah, it's, I guess we're... Yeah, we're wrapping it up, I guess,
awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you
so very much for the interview.
My pleasure. And you can follow me on Facebook, Tia Ballard Voice Actress, or Twitter, Tia Tooney, TiaTooney, or Instagram, but whatever.
Nice, Tia. We really appreciate your time today.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with me. You guys are
awesome.
Thank
you. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, with Radio DMG and...
Assimilator and Care Bear from the Game Slave.
And we've been talking to...
Tia Ballard.
At NondeskCon 2013. And good night.
Good night.
Welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at NondeskCon 2013 with...
David Vincent.
Now, David Vincent, we've interviewed you before.
Yes, yes.
What have you been up to since then?
Oh, gee whiz. I've been up to a lot. I've had actually a pretty busy year, a really good year. I've worked on a lot of projects. Of course, some I can't say, naturally. That's just par for the course, and we all know that we live in the wonderful world of non-disclosure agreements.
NDA.
Yes, the good old NDA. But what I can talk about, though, is a series that I worked on called Fate Zero. Oh. And Fate Zero is actually the prequel to Fate Stay Night. And Fate Zero is... I'm actually playing a different character. In Fate Stay Night, I played Assassin. Mm. And in Fate Zero, I'm playing Archer / Gilgamesh. In the series, yeah, we premiered it at a couple of episodes at Anime Expo this year, which was fantastic, great response. And I got to say, I'm really thrilled to be a part of the show because it's just a wonderful cast, an all-star cast, and the animation, the storyline is amazing, and the animation is some of the most beautiful animation that I have seen to date.
So now that you're working with Aniplex, right, on Fate Zero,
yes.
How do you feel that Aniplex, how do you feel the culture with Aniplex with recording is, how would you compare that to other companies' cultures that you've recorded with?
You know what I love about working with Aniplex is Aniplex is very hands-on with the dub. And I've worked with the producers, EJ's here actually at NondeskCon this weekend, and that's what I love about Aniplex is they're much more hands-on. I've worked with, companies, starting with like Genion back in the day, and what I love about Aniplex is that they're very hands-on. They really know how to reach out and touch the audience. We do, for the DVD release for Fate Zero is actually November 5th, so this November 5th, keep an eye out. Fate Zero is coming out. The DVD is being released. And we do fun stuff, like cast interviews and DVD extras and outtakes and a lot of fun stuff like that that some of the other folks don't do. And so that's what I really enjoy about working with Aniplex.
So going back to this convention, what do you think so far of NondeskCon?
I'm in
2013.
I am in love with NondeskCon. Honestly, this is one of the most well-organized and well-run cons that I've ever attended. The staff here has just been remarkable. Of course, the great thing about anime cons is the fans. That's the one constant, is the greatness of the fans and the greatness of the attendees and getting to go out and meet them and do panels with them and, just mingle with them and talk with them and really get out there. But NondeskCon NDK 2013 has just been amazing, and this is a well-oiled machine that is really geared towards maximizing everybody's enjoyment, both the attendees, the guests, everybody, and the staff has just, like I said, just been remarkable.
Aside from the panels that you've been in, were there any panels that you missed this year at NDK that you wish you'd had the time to go check out?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's lots of panels that I wish that I could have attended. I know Jan Scott Frazier was at. I got some panels that I would have loved to have seen. I did get to see, a number of other panels. Sitting in on Chris Patton's panel was a lot of fun, And I actually got to participate in Leah Clark's hot seat, which was a lot of fun. I try to get out to as many panels as I can.
Definitely. It's a busy convention.
It is.
Qu- quite a bit, even with some of the odd distractions that we've had this year.
Yeah, a couple of odd distractions, but you know what was great about, is, you know, for instance, you're talking about the fire alarm that we had yesterday,
yes.
and of course, in the severe weather watches that we've had this time around. But the great thing is honestly, everybody just rolled with the punches like nothing even happened. So
it was kind of amazing that nobody got trampled going out or anything. Just wonderful line management on that.
Absolutely. Excellent line management. I think the staff did a remarkable job, and the attendees themselves, they understood what was going on, and they rolled with it. Nobody got out of line, and it was just a small hiccup that, we look back a week from now, and we'll forget all about it.
So, aside from the work and stuff that you've been doing since the last time we talked, what have you been doing for fun? Any books, movies, anything you've been catching up on?
Well, as far as my real guilty pleasure is watching Downton Abbey. I just love the series. It's such a great show. As far as books, I've been reading Glass Castle from Jeanette Walls, and I also read her other book, what was it, Half Broke Horses. Very interesting read. She's a great author. Been doing a bit of traveling. I've attended a number of other cons as well, and actually got to go over to Europe. Went over to Ireland in the UK. So a bit of traveling, been a very, very active year.
So how was the trip to Ireland? What did you do outside of the convention there?
I'll tell you what, what was great is after the convention was wonderful. And then after the convention, I had about 5 days that I had to just go and explore and sightsee. And the Irish people are the nicest people that you'll ever meet. I don't know if you've ever been to Ireland or not.
I haven't been there yet.
I highly recommend it if you get the chance, but the countryside is just gorgeous. Got to go and see the Cliffs of Moher on the west coast and stay on Galway. And like I said, the people are just remarkable. I'll tell you a quick funny story. Mm-hmm. I was in a pub in Cork, Ireland, pronounced Cark. Cork, Ireland, and I was at a pub one evening, and I'm just sitting by myself because I was traveling by myself, and I decided to have a pint, and I was sitting quietly just enjoying my pint. I'd been there about a half an hour, and this gentleman sidles up next to me, and he's like, "Hey, you're not from around here, are ya?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm from Los Angeles." And he's like, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And so I had told him, "Well, I do. I'm a voice actor." And he's like, "Oh, really? Anything I'd know?" And so I said, "Well, I do martial law in Tekken," and all of a sudden he just explodes. He's like, "Oh no, we got martial law in the pub!" And he looks up and he's like, "Everybody, we got the voice for martial law in the pub, oh my god!" And so next thing I know, like, I'm signing the walls and signing placards all over the pub and everything. So it was a really fun experience. And the UK is a really enjoyable place to go and tour. And I really enjoyed Ireland a lot, and same with Scotland and London.
I would imagine the flight was a little bit draining on the way back, though, right?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
You have no idea.
Well, I spent 4 years in Germany, and the flights back
did
and
you?
Forth. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a flight from back, I was returning from London to Los Angeles, which normally should be an 11 to 12 hour flight if it's direct. However, mine was not direct. Oh. I had to fly from London to Dublin, from Dublin to New York, from New York to Los Angeles. And because of all those layovers, given weather factors and things, it took me 24 hours of traveling to get home from London. That was a bit of a pain in the neck. Mm. But the trip was well worth it.
Having been to many of these different cities and such, how would you compare Denver to, say, New York or Los Angeles?
You know, I'm actually from Denver, from Arvada, Colorado.
Yes.
So I am way biased when it comes to the city of Denver.
And
because
that's just fine.
Absolutely. I love Denver. I'm always going to be a Coloradan at heart, and I love the Front Range. Denver, to me, is just the most beautiful city. And the people here are just wonderful. So New York City is very, very fast-paced. I lived in New York City for 5 years, and New York is really fast-paced. It's a foot city, so you walk everywhere. You walk or you take the subway. Los Angeles is a bit more like Denver, other than it's just enormous, very spread out. But you're in your car because it's very, very spread out.
It's no fun to walk in Los Angeles.
No, nobody, just like the song, nobody walks in L.A. But, yeah, no, Denver, if I had my choice, I would call Denver home forever. I love it here.
And because of that, because you call Denver your home now, because of that, what do you think so far of how the Broncos are doing? And just a thing.
Awesome.
Like, that was pretty great, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't live in Denver and not be a Bronco fan, you know? So, no, I think they're doing great. As a matter of fact, I was just in the green room before I came over here, and Denver was just about to score.
Oh, so Manning's doing okay?
Yeah, I think he's doing great. Good.
Because, like, man, he did great in that first game. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I think we're headed for a good season this year.
Hopefully. Yes. I was just pretty surprised that, that first one, that was a bit of a blowout, actually.
I know. I didn't say anything, but, they came back.
It's fine.
They've come back, and it's looking good.
So that's going to...
And they're playing strong today. They're playing strong right now.
Yeah, I don't know what the score is currently. I don't think I could... No, not interested.
My phone's dead.
No, your phone's dead. That happens.
I think it was 10-0.
So, I'm not sure if I asked you last time, but if you weren't doing voice acting, what do you think you'd be doing?
Producing. If I wasn't doing voice acting, I'd be producing and directing, which I do produce now. I produce and direct now. So I would be, if I wasn't voice acting, I would be producing full time.
Mm. Oh, going back to, you did work on some games like Resident Evil Revelations and such. Did they have you re-record any of your parts for the ports that they did for that? For the Wii U, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Right. No, actually, we recorded so much with the first round when the game was produced that it was actually not too much. I don't think there was that much that they had to put into it to do that the release for the other consoles.
So they didn't have you re-record it?
Nope.
Awesome.
Nope. We had everything recorded the first go-around.
Excellent. Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of stuff. It's been a long weekend.
It has been a long weekend.
Definitely.
And it's Sunday afternoon, and this is when everybody's eyes start slamming shut.
Oh, yeah. So.
What else can I talk about for you?
So you're leaving today, I heard?
No, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
And flying back to where?
Burbank. I fly into Burbank. My wife and I just bought a house. Well, it's been a year now. We bought a house in Woodland Hills, which is the valley part of Los Angeles. Not near Hollywood, but more in the residential area of Los Angeles. And so Burbank is much closer than LAX and much easier to get in and out of than
so
LAX.
So is that like... okay, because I've had some friends that live in around Los Angeles, and there's like that part up in the hills, and there's Redondo Beach and such. Mm-hmm. Where exactly would that be? Part up in the hills.
Uh huh. And you know where Hollywood?
That's
usually
on fire, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. It gets on fire, but you know where the Hollywood sign is?
Mm-hmm.
We're north and west of there. Mm-hmm. If you know where Malibu is.
Yes.
Okay, there's a mountain range right that we're just on the other side of the hills. It's a 20-minute drive from our house in the valley to Malibu.
Hmm. That sounds like it sounds like a pretty fun drive through there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's cool. It's Topanga Canyon. We're just right through Topanga Canyon. You're at the beach.
Hmm. Not bad.
Yeah.
So, you said you had something you wanted to talk about just a little bit ago, and I kind of interrupted you on that.
Oh, no, I was just thinking of different things that we could talk about. I mean, we weren't talking about any anime or shows or video games. I can't really talk about video games.
There's a lot of those are under NDA.
Yeah.
Are you on under any NDAs from Capcom currently?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, okay. That's the right. It's like I can neither confirm. Yeah, that's the old ADV answer actually for everything. We can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah.
I will say that there is a series that everybody will recognize me from, but there's a number of them, so I won't tell you which one. But there's a series that I did work on and that will be coming out. I can't name which series it is, but there is a video game series coming out that we worked on this year that'll be coming out early next year.
Hmm. Should be pretty good.
It'll be
what
great.
So what do you think so far of? Have you gotten to work on anything for the PS4 or the Xbox One?
Yes.
Ah, it's pretty much like yes.
Yeah, yes.
Mm. What do you think of those so far?
I think it's great. The next generation. It's always exciting to see the new the next generation of technology come out. You know, I try to keep us up as much as I can. I'm not a huge gamer, to be honest, but I am a really great button masher. I like to try and keep up as much as I can with the new technologies, the new consoles, and the new games that are coming out, and it just keeps getting better. I do a lot of motion capture. For those of you who don't know what motion capture is, that's where you're wearing the black suit with what looks like little ping pong balls on it, and you're doing the motion, and they animate around your motion. And so I do a lot of that as well, and even just since I started doing motion capture a few years ago, to where it is today is just remarkable. The animation and the technology that's behind it is really outstanding. Honestly, gamers have got a lot of exciting things coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing like what games you're going to be in on that. So there's nothing you can announce yet that you're in.
Not video game wise. Yeah.
But next time you're here here at Non-Desk, so we'll ask you then.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I will be more than willing and glad to talk about it soon as I'm not.
As soon as they don't have that piece of paper over your head, like no.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So this convention has been kind of draining for us.
Yeah.
Has it been a little bit draining for you? Or are you still still more awake?
I'm definitely still awake right now. I mean, anytime, you know, they're always, you always get tired when you go to conventions, and that's part of having the fun, you know, is you go out and you do everything that you can because you only got the weekend to do it. So, but no, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling fantastic.
Well, I don't think I have asked you about any type of charitable work. Outside of what you do with video games and with anime and mm-hmm. such, have you worked with any charities recently?
Yeah, I do actually volunteer with the Boys and Girls Clubs. Mm-hmm. My wife is actually one of the executive directors in the Boys and Girls Club in Malibu, and what I do is I actually go in, and they have got a wonderful youth program there called the Youth of the Year. And what I do is I volunteer and I go in and we'll work with the kids, and they do the Youth of the Year program, and I will help train them to get up and give speeches and write speeches and things like that. And then they go on to a competition where they talk about how the club has affected their lives and how the education that the club provides them is helping them to better their lives. And it goes from a club level to the city level to the county level to the state level to the regional level all the way up to the national level, and the National Youth of the Year actually goes on to meet the President of the United States.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like fantastic. It's a wonderful program, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America is a fantastic program for youth youth across the country.
The Non-Descon is also working with a charity this year called Stomp Out Bullying.
Ah, yes.
Is there any advice you could give to a person who's either been a victim of bullying or maybe somebody who does bullying or anything to help them get over that particular problem?
Absolutely. You know, and the thing is that cause is so important to me. And because I got bullied. I think that everybody has been bullied at one point in time of their lives. And any advice that I would have for somebody who is being bullied is, and I remember because I used to dread waking up and going to school because I was being bullied and constantly under the threat of getting beat up. And I just remember that dread vividly. And the one thing that I want to tell anybody who's listening to this or reading this or what have you.
Listening.
Or who's listening to this. One thing I want to tell anybody who is listening to this that is being bullied is, my gosh, it gets better. Trust me on this one, it gets better. You know, speak with an adult, speak with a trusted adult, and let them know the situation that's going on so that somebody can help resolve that situation. Because it gets better.
Definitely. And, Is there anything you'd like to promote before we go?
Sure, absolutely. If you would like to follow me, and I do announcements on when I'm allowed to finally tell and promote projects that I've worked on. When I'm finally able to, spill the beans and let folks know what I'm working on. You can absolutely follow me on my Facebook at facebook.com/DavidVincentVA. The VA is for voice actor, so it's facebook.com/DavidVincentVA. Feel free to send me a friend request. I've also got a fan club, David Vincent's Windor Panthers fun club, where I do giveaways. I do autograph giveaways and posters and things like that. So feel free to join and follow, and I'll keep you guys posted on any new stuff that I've got coming out, and any new exciting events. I'm actually going and doing voiceover workshops around the in different cities around the country as well. And if you're interested in doing a workshop, you can check it out there too. So in any appearances that I'm making, any projects that I have are all going to be announced there. So you're welcome to come and join along for some fun.
I do have one quick question though about on the fan club. What's with that name?
The David Vincent's Windor Panthers. Mm-hmm. Windor comes from the video game series Tales of Graces. Mm-hmm. I play Richard in Tales of Graces. And Panthers comes from Bleach. The character that I do is Grimmjow Jaggerjack. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of a play on those two characters with the Windor Panthers.
So kind of like the Risenbull Rangers or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever Todd has.
Exactly.
So there's not going to be any types of disputes between these groups, right? We're going to have this, like, different factions, Risenbull Rangers, Windor Panthers, and whatever Todd has.
No. We are all very cohesive, and it's all about positive energy and fun.
Oh, and I think Jeremy Lee has Knights.
Lee has the Knights, and there's somebody else, and I can't remember, and I just saw her her fan club name too, and it was really, really cute. But I can't remember what it was right now.
It'll come to you after.
As soon as we end this, it'll pop into my head, and I'm like, oh,
that one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much for the interview. I just wish I'd been a little bit more awake.
Oh,
it's been a.
You're long, all good, sorry. My man. Seriously, and you are so welcome. Anytime.
No,
always happy to.
Thank you
to
so
talk
very
you.
Much for the interview.
You got it.
And well, this is Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here at NondeskCon 2013 with
David Vincent.
And good night. I know I need to get some sleep.
And that would be all of our NDK 2013 audio. It's done. We're good. We can move on. Oh. So, other things are showing up. Other things will happen. So look forward to it. And good night. You are now caught up.
It's true.